Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, you're a great and awesome God, and we love you. Our desire is to always be obedient to you, and that even involves how we live in our society, how we manage to understand what you want us to know from your Word, and how we apply that to our world around us, including the political world. And this morning, as we look at what you say and what the various political parties say, we ask that you make it clear to us and how we're to live, and what we're to do in the society around us, how we're to encourage folks to see you. Thank you for loving us. For those that are traveling, watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say at the outset, so that I'm not in violation of the Johnson Amendment, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But if you conclude to vote for the wrong party after reading this material, that's between you and the Lord. And I would humbly say that I would suspect the Lord would say, you're stupid. So, is that clear enough without violating the Johnson Amendment? Okay, typically, every 4 years I produce a document, and this year I found this one as I was researching, and I thought this is just perfect to use. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. So, in Christians Engage, Biblical Roadmap to Party Platforms. There's a lot in here. I don't know if we'll get through it. Probably we won't get through it all today, but So there were some that didn't download them. The document that you were given compares what Scripture says to what the two main party platforms, and I really appreciate that they added Marxism to this, because I think Marxism is the groundwork of a lot of things that are happening in our world today. Critical race theory is a direct outworking of Marxism. Somewhere in this document, I forget exactly where, it talks about Marxism and its oppress and oppressor ideology, and that's exactly what critical race theory is. That's exactly what is infiltrating just about every area of our society today. And so I appreciate that they put that in here, because it is a big, there's not a lot of avowed Marxists in our political world. They are, I would argue, closet Marxists. And Marxism has a big impact on some of our political positions in the world today. So let's begin. I put the Bible verses up here so that if you have trouble seeing them on your page, what I want to do is I want to first go through what the Bible says. I think that's more important for us to understand on each of these roles what the Bible says. We won't have time to go through all of the positions from the various party or the two parties, but it's really important that we focus on what the Bible says about each position. And let's begin with government. God created government and gave it a limited role. I think that's an important thing for us to understand, a limited role. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil, to praise those who do good. We're subject to the government. We need to live like that. I think we do that. Christians do that pretty well, but not everybody does that. Christians are to be law-abiding citizens, but our highest allegiance is obedience to God. Let every person Wow, what did I? There we go. But I missed my favorite verse, Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And in my office at the sheriff's office, I had a wooden plaque that I carved of Romans 13:1 through 4 with an American flag and a sheriff's star and handcuffs and gun carved into it, and that always was a conversation point. But it illustrated that as law enforcement officers, we are also ministers of God. We're to see to it that we follow God's law, for we cannot speak. But Peter and John answered to them, whatever is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Here's the deal for Peter and John. This is early on in the new organization called the church. They're being charged with violating the law. And they were willing to accept that. You determine whether it's right or wrong, they said to the government, but this is what we have to do. So what's the point of what Peter is saying here? Why is what he's saying so important?
Well, he's saying, as believers, they have to do what God wants them to do.
Yeah.
They understand that the government is the authority, and if they're going against the government, they have to accept the consequences of that.
Correct. We have to do what God says, and if that's a violation of the law, then we have to be willing to accept that. If the government tells us to do something illegal, or, I'm sorry, improper biblically, we have to follow what God said, and not what man's law says. God is always the highest. We should elect those with godly leadership qualities. There's an argument to be made that neither of the candidates, the major candidates, have godly leadership qualities. There's an argument to be made for that. I get it. Donald Trump is not the guy that I want to hang out with because I don't like his attitude on a lot of things. And I wouldn't want to be in the same room as Kamala Harris. I mean, it's not my cup of tea. Years ago, when President Obama came to town, I was the incident commander for the sheriff's office response to that. And at the end, I had an opportunity to meet him. I stayed in the command post so that the others could go because I didn't care to meet him. I'd met two presidents already. I didn't care to meet him. He's not the kind of guy I would want to hang out with. But I'm not sure that's what this message is here. Godly leadership qualities. Do we have anybody in the election that are running for president that has godly leadership qualities? What's the definition of godly leadership qualities? Here's what they have said. Moreover, look for able men from all the people who fear God, who are trustworthy, and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. So, how do we do that? Here's the way I'm going to evaluate it. Joe Biden was in government for 50 years, was a middle income guy most of his life, and now he's a multi-bazillionaire. How? On the backs of government. Donald Trump was president for 4 years, and his net worth went down $2 billion. How does that impact here? Do we have godly leadership qualities? Does that mean they're going to lead us toward what God said? I think we have more of a chance of that with one than the other. But are either of them going to lead a good Bible study? No. Are either of them going to be high moral standards? No. So what do you do then? You don't vote? Statistic that Barna put out this week, I think it was Barna, this week, 30 million Christians are not going to vote because they can't stand to vote for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. I think that's a mistake. Big mistake, yeah. Human hearts are sinful and laws don't have the power to change hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? If a law had been given that would give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. For the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. So what do we do about government as Christians? We support it. We obey it unless it's in violation of what God said. Right. In later on in this, under religious freedom, it's very telling when you look at the Democratic platform. Democrats are all about protecting Islam. Mentioned in their platform multiple times, Christianity, however, is not. There's no protection for Christianity. That tells you a lot, I think. We're not going to go over the platform here. I think we know the difference in government between the Republican and the Democrat. Although over the last 20 years, we've seen the Republicans get more big government than most of us would like. But I think of the two, there's only one that is closer to what God has said. Neither of them do a great job on it. Any questions on government? Let's talk about religious liberty. Jesus insisted on personal choice and non-coercion of religious beliefs. I think this is a fascinating way to state that. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house, that house or town. We just did that in not too long ago. When he sent out the 12 and then sent out the 72, he said, look, if they're not going to listen, don't force them. You can't force them. Don't do that. Is that what the liberal left is doing today? No, they're forcing their beliefs on us, aren't they? Right. I think that's why we have such a visceral response to homosexuality and all of that, because it's so blatant and pushing it in your face. They're mandating you accept it while rejecting anything else that you might have to say. And Jesus said that's not the way to go. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith, Paul writes to Timothy. Christians must worship the Lord alone. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. When Daniel... What happened here? Holy cow, did I mess up? When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed to the Lord as he had done previously. The document was, you can't pray, except if you pray to Nebuchadnezzar. Christians are urged to pray that those in authority would grant us freedom to worship God so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. First of all, then, I urge you, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Which party has the more likelihood to allow us to continue in freedoms? I think the demonstration of the first 4 years of President Trump and his Supreme Court picks have gone a long way. We need to do a wholesale replacement of appellate court judges, both on the state and the federal level. I mean, what nutball judge approves forcing a state to put non-citizens back on the voter rolls? I mean, on what planet does that make sense? It's activism. Okay, we basically know the platforms. While the Democrats say they will protect the First Amendment, over the past few weeks, they've all talked, the Democrats, the liberal left, has all talked about forcing suppression of thought and voice among people that they don't agree with, which is blatantly unconstitutional. So they may say they'll protect the First Amendment. It doesn't seem like that's really what they're intending to do. And certainly not from a Christian standpoint. I mean, that poor guy that owns the cake shop out in Colorado, how many times has he been sued and had to defend himself because he doesn't want to participate in gay celebrations? Not that he won't serve them, but that he won't participate in their celebrations. Okay, let's move on to freedom of speech. We're commanded to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. To that end, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words that may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. So Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel, which was against the law in Rome, in the Roman Empire. He violated Jewish law, supposedly, and he continued in prison because he kept preaching the gospel. There may be a day in our future when what we do here at Friendship Grace Brethren Church is illegal. Then we have to make a decision. Do we want to keep doing it and violate the law, or are we quiet? What does God say?
Keep going.
Keep going, yeah. Yeah. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication to all the saints. Peter says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." The opponents of the gospel frequently sought to restrict the speech of believers. Acts 4:18. "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." Remember, they were letting them out of jail. "Don't you teach in the name of Jesus anymore." Of course, they went on to teach more in the name of Jesus, violating what the law said to them. Again, obeying God's law rather than man's law. The Bible is filled with examples of believers speaking the truth to those in authority. Matthew 4:3. "For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, 'It's not lawful for you to have her.'" He was violating Jewish law. So the Democratic or the various party platforms, free speech is fundamental to what we are as Americans, but I'm not certain that free speech is what really the left wants. They want free speech that agrees with them. Now, there is a growing tendency, I think, in the more conservative side to force the left to be quiet about their ideas. So I'm not certain that either has a clean heart in all of this. But which one's better? I think the conservative side is much better. They want to, according to their platform, they want to dismantle censorship and protect free speech. There's a lot that goes into protecting free speech in our world today. The various platforms that we have that cooperate with the federal government to suppress speech is alarming to me. I never thought as a kid I would be in a country that could see that happen, but we saw it clearly happen. COVID was the thing that revealed a lot of that to us. You know, all of a sudden doctors are losing their licenses for saying something that Bill knows very well works. You lose your license because you say the truth. What is that? That's censorship. And of course they argue censorship can only come from the government. And these were private company platforms who happened to be influenced by the government to shut down that speech. If any of us think that the conservatives wouldn't do that, we're naive. They will do that. We just need to have our eyes wide open that neither side is innocent in this. One's less guilty, maybe. Is that a good way to put it? Questions on free speech?
I think we see that significantly in censorship of opposing views on social media, which is just
Social media is unique in history because we've never before had a way to disseminate information so quickly. I read, it's been a couple years, the movement of dissemination of information. You know, when radio first got to be something popular, there was a concerted effort to make sure that what was being said was pure. And then with TV, we all should, maybe not Brian, might not be old enough, remember when the news didn't have commercials. So they weren't bound by making somebody happy by what they reported. They had, the evening news was 30 minutes at 6 o'clock of uninterrupted, here's the news. And it wasn't until the last 25, 30 years that started getting skewed by the ideology of the newscast. And now it's to the point where you've got news over here, you got news over here, and you have very little that's pure in the middle. Okay, I'm going to jump over justice. Not because it's not important, but we have lots to get through. And I'd kind of like to finish this week because many people will be voting early. And if we go into next week, that's only 2 days before the election. And so I would like to get through that. And you have these that you can take home. I'm going to jump over economics as well. I think we see a picture in economics, a difference between the liberal left and the conservative right, although the conservative right does a lot of spending too. Yeah, way too much. I saw your cousin the other day talk about that. And what's her name?
Lee Hartley Carter.
If you watch Fox News at all, you'll see her doing the polls and with the dials and stuff. And she's pretty good. That's Ann's cousin. Yep.
She goes on CNN too.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She's an equal opportunity. Yeah.
They can't like her much over there. But she doesn't take a political side.
Yeah,
but
she's just reporting trends.
Yeah.
And, if somebody gives a speech, she'll say, "Well, we could have made this point a little better," and that. Yeah.
We can jump over taxation as well. My own personal view is this is the perfect time for the what's the the name of it? Consumption tax. No. Instead of an income tax, going to a pure consumption tax, like a sales tax.
Yeah.
Even at a level of say 20%, it's much less than what we're ultimately paying, and the government would be funded better, and all of the stupid IRS rules that they use to control society would go away. That's why it won't happen, because the people in Congress would lose so much.
I guess Trump came out and said that if we had good tariffs, we wouldn't need income tax.
Right. No. I'm kind of on the fence, you know.
I just heard the soundbite.
He's been talking a lot lately about tariffs and how they're very important, and he and an economics professor had a debate the other day on one, I don't know where it was, and Trump said I really favor taxes or tariffs, and the other guy said, well, but that just becomes a tax on the people spending, and Trump argued that but it makes the spending in the United States, you know, you put a 400% tariff on a foreign car maker, if they want to sell a car in the United States, they got to build it in the United States. I like that better. Anyway, I don't know enough about economics to understand all that. Okay, let's move on to national debt. We don't need to really talk about it. It's too high. Both parties are guilty. I get why President Trump's in his first term was so high, because of the stupid spending we did when COVID, when we didn't know any better. But he spent a lot before that too. We need to stop that. Both sides need to stop that. Sanctity of life. This is a big one. Let me get to sanctity of life. My friend Seth Tweedale is at the forefront in Florida of leading an anti-abortion movement. He's also working for Charlie Kirk in Florida. Besides pastoring one church, assistant pastoring another church, and leading a whole bunch of other stuff, and doing all of the anti-abortion stuff he's doing, he's working with Charlie Kirk, and it's good stuff. He's a good guy. I really appreciate all the work that he's doing. He goes to abortion clinics. He was at one yesterday in Orlando, and leads girls going in to have an abortion to the Lord. And, you know, quite often they complain, I don't have the financial resources, I can't take care of this baby. And he goes into those situations with several thousand dollars in his pocket cash, so he can help them immediately. And he's got people arranged to help with moms-to-be that need help and so forth. And there's a bunch of kids that have been saved by he and his ministry. And I mean, he's very much able to do confrontational ministry on the street. And it's pretty cool to watch. But he's leading the charge. The value of human life comes from God, creation of each individual person in his image. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Why is that the place to start when talking about the sanctity of life?
Not ours to decide to take it away.
I agree with that statement to a point. Sometimes it is our right to ours to decide to take it away when they violated God's law and have committed a capital crime.
Absolutely.
That's an argument that gets made a lot is, if you're for the sanctity of life, how can you be for capital punishment? That seems like that's an oxymoron.
Well,
But it didn't. Because the baby growing in a womb is innocent. Of any human being, they're innocent. And the mass murderer convicted felon is not. Violated God's law. And God specifically provides for capital punishment. I think why this is important is because God created us in his image. He didn't create the antelope or the deer or the moose or the whale in his image. He created us in his image. It makes us different. We have a conscience. I don't know any animal that does. I don't know how we'd know, but you know, they don't have consciences. They have learned behaviors. They may be happy about things because they know that that results in love, treats, or whatever. They're sentient, but they're not actually able to compose like a human mind does because we're different. We're not animals. We're different. That's why in this debate of sanctity of life, why the church has lost the argument so much, because we've given up the road of the words we use. It's a baby growing. It's not a pile of tissue. It becomes a baby as soon as the first cell divides. Now, is it identifiable then? No, but that's okay. Most of us aren't identifiable as people either. Okay, maybe that's not true. And so we've given that up. It's a fetus. Well, you can kill a fetus because that's just a pile of tissue. But if it's a baby, that's why the laws in several states, including Florida, that an ultrasound has to be performed and the woman has to see it before she can have an abortion is so important. Oh, that's a living thumb sucking. Wow, that's hard. You know, that's a real baby. I love the memes, you know. Baby 5 minutes before birth, baby 5 minutes after birth, what's the difference? Location. And that's important that we remember to say those things. Scripture declares the unborn to be babies with personality specially designed by God. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Or on to Psalm 139. I love this. I don't have all the words there. For you informed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intrinsically woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I think that's so cool. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. The abortion industry is a humongous industry. It has become so important to the left that at their convention they actually had mobile abortion clinics. I can't even fathom how that seemed right to somebody to suggest. But that becomes now a significant argument. And they have framed the argument that it's all about a woman's right to protect herself, her body, her choice. Except it's not her body. And I have seen several gynecologists go on record to say never in their experience was abortion the only alternative to protect the life of the mother. I can see that maybe someday, somehow, that would be the reality, that sometime you would have to remove a live baby to protect the mom, but we're stretching. I don't know enough medicine to be able to make that declarative statement, but it seems to me that there's other alternatives always. And so abortion wouldn't be necessary in that case. I am not a proponent of abortion in the case of rape or incest. I am a proponent of capital punishment for the raper and the incestor, but I'm not for killing the baby. The baby's innocent. The baby did nothing to cause that. I disagree with President Trump on and President Reagan. I disagree with them both on rape, incest, and life of the mother. Life of the mother would be an argument I might be able to, would be able to say maybe if you can prove to me medically that it's necessary. But rape or incest is not necessary. Is that going to be tough for the mom? Yeah, you bet. But we got to support them in that. But that is not the position of our political parties. We know we don't even need to talk about the Democrats' position. They're just wholesale in lockstep with abortion. What they need to understand is that Planned Parenthood was designed as an anti-black organization. Yeah. Margaret Sanger, she wanted to kill black babies. That's what it's all about. They need to understand that. They can't see that, but they need to know that. And the vast majority of abortions in the United States, maybe not vast, but the majority, are black. And well, sure.
Or not poor
neighborhoods.
Or, yeah, low income.
Right.
And a lot of the Planned Parenthood has been in from the government is just
right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, the Republican platform's a little better. They at least are willing to say, you know, let's make abortion illegal, except I don't agree with the 6 weeks. I don't agree with 12 weeks. But I take a much more conservative approach to that than the government. I'm happy that the government has said let's limit it at 6 in Florida. I'm happy with that. I would like it to go more. And I don't want the exception for rape and incest. I understand why it's there. And I'll take the political win, but I'd like to go further. I was happy when Roe v. Wade was overturned. I'm not happy that there are states in which you can have an abortion up to the moment of birth. I think that's called murder. And I don't know if it's still that way, but I know it used to be that in every state of the union, if you hit mom and cause the baby to die, you get a count of murder. I don't know why it's different for a doc to do it. Just never figured that out. I think this is one of those issues that is extremely important. And I would be willing to support President Trump no matter what in order to get more conservative Supreme Court justices like he's proven he would give us. The fact that he got 3 is remarkable. He might not get any if he gets reelected, but I'd be willing to support him just for that, because I think that's a critical measure. Let's talk the next one: marriage, gender, and sexuality. God created marriage to be a lifetime covenant between a man and one woman. Jesus answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one? What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Let marriage be held in honor among all, let the marriage bed be unified, or I'm sorry, undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman, as it is an abomination, Leviticus. I'm seeing over the last 10 years or so, the conservative movement move more to the middle on this. That there is more, there are more self-identified homosexualities in the conservative government or in conservative movement than before. We have a visceral response because it's thrown into your face as much. The Democrats have now gone so far on this that, just like abortion, this is an extremely, extremely important issue for them, and they will tie everything to this one issue. The conservative government, or the conservative movement, is moving to be more acceptant of that and less intrusive, less preventive. We might have lost already that battle because we have changed the law so that homosexual marriage is permissible in every state now and in the federal government. And so we have to now, where does the church take the stand? Where do we hold the line? I don't know that I have the answer to that. I think society has gone past where we need to be. Could it change? Yeah, because where we are is what the Roman world was like. And then we had a change overall in society, and it again was something that wasn't out in the open. And what will it take? I don't know. Will it take the Dark Ages and a Reformation to get to that? I don't know. I know that in the church, we need to hold the line. Not that we wouldn't fellowship with a homosexual, hoping to win them to see what God says about it. I wouldn't cast them out. They wouldn't be able to lead and so forth, but I wouldn't want anybody in overt sin leading, no matter what the sin is. So I'm not willing to make homosexuality a higher sin than others. I don't think God did that. And so we have to take the line in our own community, the church. This is a tough one because society has allowed us, has moved so far on this that it's now become accepted, generally accepted.
You take Islam though, or it's totally forbidden and
right.
They will stone you.
Right.
But that doesn't change human behavior.
Right.
It's still very widespread.
Even in Islam.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And that brings up an interesting point. We see all these liberal movements that, you know, the LGBTQ for Palestine. Yeah. Well, you don't get to do that in Palestine without them hurting you. But again, that goes back to the Marxist and Lenin ideology of the oppressor and the oppressed, and they will cooperate with people they don't agree with as long as they have a common enemy. But once that common enemy is removed, now they have to find a new enemy, and that's who they don't agree with. And eventually, the LGBTQ for Palestine will be Palestine hurting LGBTQ. I mean, it's just the way that movement works. Okay, let's we'll jump over education, charity and welfare. We need to be providing. Church is the greatest provider, I think, of those things. The liberal political world is willing to be charitable with my money, not with theirs. And so I reject their take on all that. Human trafficking, obviously wrong. Obviously wrong. Biblically wrong, and all sorts of moral objections to it. Racism. This will be the final one. We're all part of God's family. I really appreciate the way Answers in Genesis has put out material on this, and has really talked about racism is not a biblical construct. It's a satanic construct used to divide people. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and then Noah and his three sons. We're all descendants of them. We all come from the same. Genetically, we are all made up the same. We have different dominant genes, and we see different dominant genes pooled together, and that gives us what are termed races. They aren't races. There's one race, human race. There are ethnicities, and there are some some genetic poolings that make us look different and sound different, but we're all ultimately the same. And the left throws in our face that we used to, I say we, Christians, conservative Christians, particularly in the South, used to make a biblical case for racism. They were just bad Bible exegetes. They just didn't get the Bible right. The Bible abhors racism. I think we're more likely to see less racism with a conservative government than with a liberal government, because that's how the liberal government maintains control, is by suppressing races and causing race battles. Okay. Stewardship and climate. Yeah. Climate change is a religion of itself. It's not the foundation of climate change is not biblical, and it's not fact oriented. It's based on proper reading of the data. It's based on control of people. That's it. And who's willing to give billions of dollars for climate change and who's not? I think you can make that decision yourself. National borders. Even Israel had good borders. Even though God said, you make sure you take care of the sojourners in your country, they didn't get in unless they were allowed to be in. And we know the difference in political parties. This handout is a tremendous resource. Spend some time going through it. They've done an excellent job, I think, of putting everything together, of getting us the information. I don't want to just say liberal or conservative. I really want to say, what does God say? You look at what God says, and then you figure out which one supports it to the best. Neither of them support them well. Let's face it. Neither political persuasion in the United States currently are good Christians. They're just not. But as I told my sister a few weeks ago, I'm not voting for my pastor. I'm not voting for my religious leader. I'm voting for somebody to rule this, manage this nation as close a construct of what God has said as can be. And in my mind, that only leaves me one option. Is it the best option? Not the top of the list of who I would pick. But I also know Daniel 4:17, God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. So whoever's going to be president on January 20th, 2025, was appointed by God. The world doesn't want to hear that. Neither party wants to hear that, but that's the reality. Whoever's going to be sworn in on that day is appointed by God. And God felt we needed to have a weekend at Biden's place for the last 4 years. I mean, let's face it, the guy's not there. He's not home. The people running it are running it. And what is their ideology? It's completely different than mine, completely different than Scripture. And so which one gets us the closest? You decide. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you for loving us. We love you. And the reality that you rule in the kingdom of men is the only reason that we can have confidence in the future. Because politically, I don't think we could. But because you do, then we know that it'll be sure. And even if everything breaks down, even if our nation goes away as we know it, You have promised us eternity with you, and that's so much far, so much better. So we look forward to that. Thank you, Father. Give us a great time in the service to follow, that you might be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.